Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Eric Zorn joins us now, longtime columnist in Chicago, now a publisher of something called the Picayune Sentinel. It's a weekly newsletter with commentary and comedy and tweets and whatnot. I, a moment ago, took Brandon Johnson to task, and maybe I shouldn't nitpick everything the mayor says, but we're all trying to figure this guy out. And I don't know that I endorsed him, but I support him. I'm not an anti-Brandon Johnson guy at all. But when he says, if you're not from Chicago, you do not have the right to talk about Chicago. Granted, he was saying it to the new class of police officers. They have a residency requirement, and it's all about Chicago for them. So I get that. But per se, what he said was 100% wrong. Do you agree with me?
I totally agree with you, and I live in Chicago. I know you've got a place in Chicago, too, so we have the right, the mayoral right to speak about Chicago. But, Chicago is clearly the hub of this region, and if you live in Wilmette or Evanston or Oak Park or Evergreen Park or any of the suburbs in DuPage County or in McHenry County, you have an interest in how Chicago does, and you want Chicago to thrive because the whole region depends on the success of Chicago. So people who live in those areas do have a definite interest in how Chicago is going. They have concerns when there's high crime here. They're happy when business receipts are up or when office occupancy rates are up. I mean, this region holds together, and Chicago is completely the beating heart of it. And to say that if you don't live in Chicago, you don't have a right to talk about it. I don't know what he's – I mean, and you're saying, like, oh, you were nitpicking about this. And I disagree that it's nitpicking. The mayor – and we're talking, last time we spoke about what he said, we talked about something he said during his inaugural speech. These are not off-the-cuff remarks, but even if they were, what the mayor says matters. And it moves markets, so to speak. I mean, it makes people pay attention. And so he has to be careful with his words because they mean a lot now. And so, yeah, I don't think we're making too much of this at all. I think he needs to clarify that at some point.
But I also but here's why I worry that I'm overanalyzing, because I don't think I think he knows better. I think he knows. Who do you think went to Taylor Swift, right? It wasn't just Chicagoans. Who stayed in our hotels, who used our public transportation, who had a sandwich downtown. It was people from the suburbs as well as all around the country. But he knows better than that, Eric.
Yeah. Well, he clearly has yet to refine his message. And the thing is, you know, he came up as an activist, a union organizer. He was a Cook County commissioner for a minute there. But he has yet to sort of fine-tune his rhetorical skills. He's very charismatic, very good speaker, but he's got to realize that his words matter. Every word he says matters a lot. And when you frame things that way, I can see why he's trying to buck up the new police department, the new sworn officers. That's a good thing. And he may have been reacting to some commentary that was published over the weekend about what a hellhole Chicago is and how terrible all the public officials are here and how they don't care about crime and they want to see young women on the CTA molested and so on. Maybe that's what he was reacting to. But that commentary came from someone who lives outside of Chicago. But again, you know, you live in the suburbs of Indiana, for instance. You still have a stake in what goes on in Chicago. I have no real problem with someone who lives outside the city boundaries realizing that things are important here. We do need to get crime on the CTA under control. We do need to increase tourism. We do need to keep businesses here. We need jobs. We need good schools. All of those things, the region depends on it. So for him to say that in that fashion, I think it was tone deaf. I don't think it probably just puzzled some of the police officers as it puzzled me rather than inspired them.
Speaking of making a fine point out of a broad statement, there was an editorial. So here I go again. There was an editorial cartoon in the Chicago Tribune yesterday. It's two people walking down the street, business people they look like. One of them's carrying a briefcase, and it's labeled Dems, as in Democrats. And the first person says, it's way past time for Senator Feinstein to retire. And the second person says, agreed. It's obvious she's only slightly more coherent than the president. You wrote to the editorial page editor of the Tribune, the also arts critic, Chris Jones. Why did you write to him and what did you say?
I wrote to him because I was really disappointed by this cartoon. I thought it was ugly and false and trollish. The fact that there's nothing funny about it is beside the point. It's like the editorial pages, the opinion pages, you need to throw new light onto subjects to provoke civil conversations. If we want to just throw crap at each other, we can go to Twitter, right? But when you're having an opinion page section that's supposed to, like I said, shed light on things, have you look at something in a new way, a new metaphorical way. Now, in this particular case, Senator Feinstein is 89 years old. She's clearly suffering from dementia. Joe Biden is he 80 yet? I think he's right. He's either 80 or he's about to turn 80. I can't remember how old he is, but he's old. And his age has become an issue. But he's clearly in control of his faculties. He makes gaffes. He has little lapses, but he always has. And this is kind of like a cartoon where someone would say, "I'm not going to vote for President Trump because for Joe Biden because he's old." And then someone else says, "Yes, but Donald Trump is older." And that's just false. You look at that and go, "Well, that's not even true. Why is that funny? That's not true. Donald Trump is a couple years younger than Joe Biden. Why would you write that?" And so I wrote to Chris, who's he's a former colleague and a very smart guy, likable guy. And I said, "Do you have to run cartoons like this? Are you under some obligation to run something this nasty and unfunny and trollish and malicious even?" And he wrote back and he said that he defended the cartoon, kind of. He just said, "We get complaints from conservatives when our liberal cartoonist run sometimes." And he says calls Joe Biden's mental capacities legitimate fodder for a cartoonist. And he says the same applies to Tuesday's cartoon that shows DeSantis as a babbling fool. It's Governor DeSantis of Florida. And I looked at that cartoon, and that has DeSantis responding to a question about climate change by saying, "I'm waging a war on woke because woke is broke, and I will make woke a croak, no joke." And the idea is not that DeSantis is a babbling fool, as Jones maintained in his letter. And this letter is printed in today's Picayune Sentinel.
I want to just finish that
online
cartoon. So where DeSantis says, "I'm waging a war on woke because woke is broke and I will make woke croak, no joke." The then reporter in the field says, "But my question was about climate change." Okay, that's
right. And the joke there, such as it is, and I'm not saying it's a particularly funny joke, is that DeSantis has made this war on woke ideology, this war on progressive, woke consciousness over race and ethnicity and language and so on, to be the main thrust of his campaign for president. It's the reason that he's running, this cause, that's the thing he stands behind, so that everything for him is seen through this filter of woke. It's not that he's an idiot. I don't think anyone's saying that.
All right, so what's the difference between those two cartoons? Both of them are parodying something that is popularly, if not fairly, believed about the two candidates.
Well, I think fairly is certainly one quality. I'm not saying that the Lukovich cartoon today about DeSantis is particularly funny or even necessarily on point. It's basically saying it's underscoring the fact that DeSantis is a monomaniacal on the subject of wokeness. The thing about Biden is you're basically saying that he is more ill than someone who is demonstrably ill, who has Dianne Feinstein is.
Well, don't take it literally, Eric. I mean, are you making the mistake of taking the first one about the president too literally? There's no score for their mental acuity anyway. I agree with you. Feinstein clearly has memory lapses. She needs to be told what to say when she votes. Her handlers take care of her every movement during the day. That's not the case for President Biden. But President Biden isn't as sharp as he was, so that's the joke. You get it? That's the thrust of that, air quotes here, humor.
Right, but there's certainly ways that one could make sport of his, of the gaffes and so on. He tripped over a sandbag the other day, and people made jokes about that, even though I don't know anyone in the world who's never tripped over something that was placed in their way. But people have make jokes about that. People make jokes about little things that Biden actually says that actually are rooted in truth. The idea that Biden's mental capacities is lower than Feinstein's is so false as to be nasty in my opinion.
Okay,
it doesn't contribute in anything to the conversation. Doesn't shed any light on the on the issue of Biden's competency. It doesn't make you look at it in a new way. I mean, a good cartoonist uses metaphor, uses humor in ways that make you look at an issue in a slightly different way. Well, and this is just basically him saying Joe Biden is more demented than Dianne Feinstein, and you're like, that's not even true.
Well, but you see, I agree with. I took offense to this cartoon too. I texted you over the weekend or the other day when this first ran and said, "Oh man, I wish they wouldn't run this." But I think the mistake you're making, and maybe I would be making, is that we're taking it too literally. You're suggesting that they really are presenting this as fact when what they're saying is, "Hey, Joe Biden, how it's like fat mama jokes. Your mama's so fat." They don't mean your mom is really fatter than the whole world, but that's just how fat she is. It's a joke. Joe Biden, so we all know Dianne Feinstein is the baseline for how challenged a politician can be. So to say he's even worse, I'm overanalyzing it now, Eric, is the humor.
Right.
Of it. All right, so my last question for you, but answer me this then. If that was a Republican that we were talking about, would you feel the same way? It's your politics that keep you from seeing the fair commentary in this cartoon.
I hope I would see it the same way. People have sent me like cartoons that are ostensibly as bad as this, right? That are from the left.
Yeah.
And when I see cartoons like that, I don't like them. I mean, and the thing is, this guy Steve Kelly, who Tribune runs regularly, has this kind of habit of really nasty cheap shot cartoons that he does, and so this one just kind of put me over the edge. I was like, come on, do you have to run this? Our friend Scott Stantis is of a conservative bent. I love Scott. I don't always agree with him, but he's clever, and there's nothing really clever about this. And so I'm thinking, like, are they not looking hard enough here? And that's kind of why I wanted to confront Chris Jones about this. Like, hey, come on. No, let's find some. I'm all for conservative commentary. I'm all for balanced views on editorial pages. So
here's the thing that I think Chris Jones ran into, who I very much like and respect, but I think he knows he's got to level the playing field, and he turns to this guy. I wish he would have found somebody else who would have made a more intelligent or humorous comment on the other side. We're talking to Eric Zorn, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, the longtime Chicago columnist, now regularly writes for his own publication, the Picayune Sentinel. If you email ericzorn@gmail.com, he'll sign you up. By the way, about our conversation about two editorial cartoons in the Tribune, and was one better or different than the other, or were they the same? 847 said, hey, John, your guest is justifying both cartoons are in bad taste. But the next text said, I thought both cartoons were funny. So welcome to the world. And finally, the cartoon is in poor taste. Dianne Feinstein does need to retire, though. No argument here. I am sorry that she is still in the Senate, and I think it's a disservice to the people in California, and it's a disservice to the committees that at least she did sit on. You probably agree with me on that, Eric?
I do. She just needs to know that it's time to step aside. She's 89, and she is clearly in very poor health. And her lack of presence in Washington made it very difficult for the Biden administration to move judges forward because of the split on the Judiciary Committee. Yep. I mean, it's a complicated story. And a lot of people are saying, well, this is sexism, that nobody calls for males to step down when they get that old. This is a very specific case. It really matters that Feinstein is in such poor health and is not be able to vote on this committee, because the Senate is so closely divided. Yeah, people like Ted Kennedy, they were in terrible health, but his vote was not as critical at the time when he was ailing. And a lot of other these older senators, it's not like they're pivotal characters. And
well,
so So, yeah, it's
right.
time for her to go.
But ask me if Grassley should retire in Iowa, and I would say yeah. But nobody asked, and he has not been in the news for missing a lot of votes because of an illness or unable to remember the question he just asked at a hearing and repeating it verbatim. When we talked last week about where do teachers park and should they be allowed to park for free close to schools, right after we talked about that, this person said, please get this text to John Williams. It's late because my phone battery died. There are churches all over the city. The schools could make similar arrangements for teachers to purchase permits to park in church lots that are not in use during the daytime hours, Monday through Friday. People pay to park while they work. Teachers do not walk on water. Eric, I got about a minute left. What was the postscript to your writing about should we give permit parking for teachers around public schools?
Well, really quickly, a lot of people said that schools need these spaces on the street because if they paved over their playground, kids wouldn't have a place to play. I asked in a click poll, an unscientific click poll, my readers, but I got about 400 votes. It was essentially 80 to 20 that were okay with giving spaces for school personnel during the day to park. Then other people start writing and saying, well, what about nurses? What about firefighters? What about other people who we consider to be important members of our working community? What about private school teachers? Yeah. Should they have rights too? Or do we just need to figure out the parking situation for all employees to make work better? You know, I'm torn back and forth on this. I mean, I really respect teachers. I want to make their lives as easy as possible because I know they've got a really hard, really important job. On the other hand, public streets are the public streets. And it's up to the school system, it's up to business owners, it's up to hospitals, it's up to all these places to provide transportation parking for their employees. That's sort of part of the deal of being where you are. So that's where this came down was surprisingly strong support from my readers on this.
And for the teachers. And in the suburbs, it's not so much an issue. They got massive spaces and big parking lots for a lot of them, but it's not the same in the city. It's also 11:57, and you and I and some friends will visit on the Mincing Rascals podcast. We'll talk like this ad nauseum, even more, tomorrow afternoon. Thanks, Eric.
Great talking to you, John. Thanks.
That podcast drops early Wednesday evenings.